Our Father in heaven, we thank you for reaching out to us in your love. Thank you for your wonderful salvation for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for all your provisions for us, so that we may be able to enter into all that you intend for us in him. We pray that you will continue to have the freedom to speak to us, to work in our hearts, and to help us to walk with you in truth, in love, in the light, according to what you've revealed to us in the scriptures. We pray that you will be pleased to grant us insight into the truth and help us to respond well to you. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 186th message. The subtopic for today, the posture and major areas of life, the scriptures. The posture and major areas of life, the scriptures. When we align our heart with the posture of God and truth, there will be significant implications for every aspect of our lives, and especially the major areas of life. Before I go on into the implications for some major areas I would like to consider with you, I think it's helpful to restate and refresh ourselves what constitutes the essence of the posture. I covered them with you in an earlier message, P141. The major features include, as a starting principle, the foundational basis and primary motivation of the person's whole approach to life is God and truth. So it encompasses our whole approach to life. Foundational basis, primary motivation is God and truth. That means it involves the core center of the person's conviction, his motivation, his attitude, his values, perspective, and priorities. It is an inward reality of the heart and spirit from which flow forth the outward expressions. The posture is primarily this inward reality in our heart, but it will result in outward expressions. The unwavering conviction that this is the appropriate and fundamental response of creature man to the call of our perfect Creator God. If we appreciate the posture, align our heart with the posture, it means that we have this conviction, and this is an unwavering conviction. It's only appropriate for us to respond to God in this way, and it's a fundamental response of man to God's call. There's the firm conviction that this approach to life is the basis for continued experience of God's approval and blessings. This is very important. This conviction is unwavering, no matter what we go through, that we approach life in this way, then there is basis for continuing experience of God's blessings and God's approval. Whatever may be the outward circumstances, however people may say of us, view us, if we live in this way, there will be God's approval, God's blessings, and together with that, true well-being, true security, peace and joy, fruitfulness, success, and effective participation in the fulfillment of God's purposes. And this firm conviction is extremely important, so that whatever we go through, however difficult, we know there can be joy, peace, fruitfulness as we live out the will of God, and that the Lord will enable us as we look to him. It doesn't mean we do not falter and fail, but basically, if the thrust of our lives is in this direction, there's this reality, then to a degree we are able to respond well, to that degree there will be fruitfulness, success from the perspective of God's kingdom, whatever may come our way. So God and truth is primary and foundational. That means on the basis of God and truth, the person will then view all things, respond to all situations and all other beings. including people, the forces of darkness, and the realities of the spiritual in the spiritual realm. These are starting point from which we view things, we respond to situations, we respond to people. How we relate with people, how we go through situations must flow forth from this primary and foundational basis of our appreciation of God and the truth that He has revealed. It is not just a concept that we subscribe to. There is a strong motivation and conviction to live in this way, and we know why we want to live in this way. Not just we are told and we just subscribe to a concept or an idea. We are strongly motivated and we know why. Which includes, as I mentioned earlier, very important that we know that this is the approach to God's blessings, God's approval, and the will of God being fulfilled in our life. And together with that, the fruitfulness and effective participation in God's purposes. So it includes, but it goes beyond beyond understanding. That is, there is a definite commitment to live in this way. So these are helpful things for us to ponder. We've been considering this subject for some time, and you may have a certain degree of appreciation and may think you've aligned your heart with a posture. Consider, examine whether is it so. That is, if we have aligned our heart with the posture, it's not just that we agree with the concept. This will be a living reality from our hearts, and you have implications for every moment of our lives, every aspect of our lives, in all that we do, whatever we go through. All our responses, all our choices, conduct, whatever the person may be involved in, it will flow forth from this posture. It's a lively posture. It's a life. And all that we do and go through and how we conduct ourselves will be consistent with this posture if we have aligned our heart with this posture. So it's not just a feeble, superficial, wavering attempt to live in this way. When we say we've aligned our heart with the posture, it's an expression of the person's consecration to God and commitment to live according to the truth that God has revealed. So his primary concentration and motivation in life is God and truth, which means he sets his heart on deepening his knowledge of God, his love for God, as well as knowledge of the truth and his love for the truth. And then to live his life accordingly. And when this is true, God will have much freedom to speak to this person and to work in and through his life. When we align our heart with the posture, it goes together with the conviction that this is the way we enter into the fullness of life that God intends for us. His intentions for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we live this life, we work out this posture with deep conviction. Because we want to enter into the fullness of life God intends for us, and we can see and we are convicted that this is the way to enter into this fullness of life. So this posture, the posture of God and truth, it encompasses our total approach to life. Not just for some aspects, the total approach to life. It has to do with how we ought to respond to God and God's calling. So it bears a vital relationship with every aspect of our lives. And so I would now want to consider further with you the implications of aligning our heart with a posture on some major areas. Actually, we have already been considering this in this series of messages on the postures. But I now want to go on to highlight some areas which I think are important for us to reflect over. That is our attitude, our approach, our motivation in relation to some of these major areas and issues of life. It can also help us to evaluate whether we are faring well in these areas. Also give us some idea of the direction to work towards. So the first important major area I want to consider with you is our approach to the scriptures. What ought to be our approach to the scriptures? Why do we read the scriptures? For Christians, for all of us here, I'm quite sure we all believe it is important, we should, and we do read the scriptures. But why do we read the scriptures? Why must we pay much attention to the scriptures? What is the significance and relevance of the scriptures? How should we go about reading the scriptures? How should we evaluate? How to evaluate whether we are faring well in this area? If we have truly aligned our heart with the posture of God and truth, we will be strongly and properly motivated to read the scriptures. We do not need anyone to persuade us, or from time to time to be reminded by others. The reason is, if we align our hearts with the posture, we recognize that the scriptures is the primary source of God's revelation of who He is and the truth He wants to communicate to us. And when we align our heart with the posture, then the primary longing of our heart and the concentration of our life would be God and the truth God wants to communicate to us. And we know that the scripture is extremely important. As I mentioned, it's the primary source of God's revelation of who He is in His ways and the truth He wants to communicate to us. We'll also read the scriptures with a correct frame of mind and longing in our hearts. We'll read the scriptures because we want to grow in our knowledge of God and our relationship with Him. And that's how we read the scriptures. These will no longer just be concepts that we agree with. When people tell us, oh, you should read the scriptures in this way, we will read the scriptures in this way, so that we grow in our knowledge of God, understand His ways, understand what God requires of us, and how to live a life truly pleasing to God. That's how we read the scriptures, and also to understand how God wants us to fulfill our part in our working of His purposes, which of course must include our understanding of what is God's purposes. How does God want to work out His purposes? So all this becomes important to us when we read the scriptures. We want to understand these things. How we can learn to bear good fruit. How we can live our lives to the fullest. Because it's from the scriptures that we will understand how we can live our lives in the way God desires. And God being the perfect God, when we understand how God wants us to live, we know that's the way to live our lives to the fullest, to the optimum. So we will pay much attention to the scriptures. Not just we read the scriptures, but we will pay much attention to the scriptures because it is a key provision of God for us to live out the implications of the posture and for us to fulfill God's high calling, that we may be properly equipped for every good work. As Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, two key verses on the scriptures. That all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So we pay a lot of attention to the scriptures because we know it's inspired by God. And inspired by God for a purpose. So that we can be taught, corrected, trained in righteousness, which is the moral dimension. So that the direction. So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The scriptures can help us to be fully equipped. To serve God, to walk with God, and to fulfill the will of God in our lives. So now we go on to consider our approach to reading the scriptures. And as we consider this subject, if you can see that what is considered with you today is clear to you, you agree with it, there's no ambiguity, it should be like that. then it's important for us to deeply align our heart and indeed adopt this approach. And from time to time, ask ourselves when we are reading the scriptures, do we read the scriptures in this way? Because even though many of these truths, when stated, we may readily agree, it is easy for us, in the way we read the scriptures each day, from time to time, we may be reading the scriptures far from the way we ought to, which we can't recognize how we should read. So if we align our hearts with the posture, then we will read the scriptures, as I mentioned just now, with an earnest longing in our hearts to grow in our knowledge of God and our knowledge of the truth and to deepen our relationship with God. That must be primary. Not just read in order to gain some knowledge. Not just to read so that we are better equipped now to discuss with others when we come together for meetings and discussions on the Bible. Not just to read so that we can say, I have fulfilled my part for the day. And we read with the scriptures with this earnest longing, and also link to an approach that has to do with this idea, this understanding that the growth in knowledge of God and deepening our knowledge of God comes through our understanding and reception of the truth that God desires to communicate to us in the scriptures. So when we read the scriptures, there must be this deep longing to understand the scriptures. Not just according to, as we read, what we think the scriptures mean, but we set our hearts to understand what God actually wants to communicate. That is extremely important. And we want to receive it into our hearts. And we know that that is the way in which we can then truly know God, deepen our relationship with Him, know the truth, and then able to walk in it. So this must be at the heart of our approach to the reading of the scriptures, so that we can know the truth, walk in truth, and walk according to the perfect will of God. And at the heart of it, the center of it, is the deepening of our knowledge of God and our relationship with God. This is something that we need to seriously ponder over and ask ourselves. Is this how we actually read the scriptures? Every time we read the scriptures. Not just once upon a time, yes, I used to read the scriptures in this way. Do we read the scriptures in this way every time we read the Bible? Let's take note of the introductory words of a key chapter in the Bible on this subject. And as we look at these three verses, try to identify with the spirit and the meaning in the heart of the psalmist, which give rise to these words. If I'm not mistaken, this is the longest chapter in the scriptures, but it's very rich in meaning. I've referred to it from time to time. It's Psalm 119. Let's look at Psalm 119, verses 1 to 3. As I mentioned, as we look at these words, try to appreciate it, the meaning as well as the spirit with which the psalmist said these things. Try to understand what is in his heart when he uttered these words. Verse 1, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. These verses tell us of God's rich blessings on those who seek God with all their hearts and walk in God's ways. And notice how it begins, this very long psalm. It begins with, how blessed. That means it's trying to tell us, very blessed. And this expresses the conviction of the psalmist. What is in his heart? And it tells us something about how the rest of the psalm flows forth is from this heart, this conviction. So just in these few verses, there are some major aspects there that are very helpful for us to bear in mind when we consider God's revelation of the truth in the scriptures. How blessed are those whose way is blameless. So it's in the direction of blameless has to do with the moral dimension, and that has to do with those who walk in the law of the Lord. So when the psalmist says that, he's actually referring to God's instructions. And we can see he's basically referring to the principle of what God has revealed in the Old Testament, what God wants to teach and communicate and instruct us in the Old Testament. And for us today, it is the whole Bible. So a very major goal of the scriptures is that God wants to instruct us in his ways. And not only that, it's for us to walk in it. And then our lives will move in the direction of moral blamelessness, moral purity, our moral character being formed. Verse 2, how blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. Again, how blessed. That is the way to God's blessings. How does the blessings come about? It has to come from God. We want to experience God's blessings and not only experience a little bit. He says, how blessed. That means this is actually the way to the full blessings of God. We must walk in the law of the Lord. But before we walk in the law of God, we must know what is the law of the Lord. So we must know the truth, then we can walk in it. So when we know the truth, we must then also walk in it, observe, as he says, observe his testimonies. But this must go together with a heart that seeks God. We seek God with all our heart, who seek him with all their heart. All this must go together. A heart that seeks for the Lord, the relationship with God, the knowledge of God, relationship with God, and together with that, a deep longing to know what God wants to communicate to us, God's instructions. Then these are the people who, verse 3 says, they also do no unrighteousness. So it comes again, this whole issue of the moral dimension. They walk in his ways, the ways of God. So this is the very heart of how it should be if we align our heart with the posture. When we align our heart with the posture, we will also testify and declare what the psalmist says in these verses. That this is indeed the way to a wonderful life, richly blessed by God. Is this something that we recognize deeply? Are we deeply convicted? Do we align our heart? Is this how we live our lives? With this deep conviction that this is the way to live, and this is the way to a blessed life. So as I said, it then means that we must seek after the Lord. And as we read the scriptures, to seek the Lord as well as to seek to know the truth, and with a heart's desire to walk in it. And then actually walking in it. When this is the reality in our heart, we align our heart with the posture in this way, then it would mean at all times, in our heart, there will be a longing for accurate, wholesome understanding of what God desires to communicate to us and teach us through the scriptures. I want to emphasize this part. The longing is for accurate, wholesome understanding of what God desires to communicate to us and teach us through the scriptures. It is not just reading the scriptures and then deriving from it whatever we think is the truth. That is not good enough. In fact, that can actually lead us far astray if in fact what we derive is not the truth. And there are many who say they read the scriptures and this is what they've derived, and they have lived lives far away from God, as well as lead many others astray. So bear in mind, it is no guarantee. If you read the scriptures and you derive truths from the scriptures, you think you are doing that, that means you are on the right path. It's very important that we recognize that what counts is when we have actually understood the scriptures accurately, in a wholesome way, in the way that God actually intends to communicate and teach us through the scriptures. This also means it's not just a verse, a passage that appears to tell us something. Again, in this area, many have gone far wrong. Whole groups of people, including millions, can be influenced and have been influenced through church history until today. Some of these I've considered with you in earlier messages. They can quote from the scripture, appear to be saying all these things. But in fact, that's not what the scriptures teaches. That's not what God intends to communicate. You can go far astray. So when we read the scriptures, we cannot just receive what appears to be. There must be this approach that what counts is what God really wants to communicate. And so we try very hard to understand. And not so clear, we don't straight away receive it. We want to receive the truth that has to do with what God actually wants to communicate. And that's where, in our message, I'll go further in relation to church life, how we can also learn from others. Learn together. And the whole idea is to try to arrive at the truth accurately, wholesomely. And also benefit from those whom we recognize God has raised, who can help us to recognize the truth. Not just by absorbing whatever they say, but what they say, we examine from the scriptures and to see whether is it really so. But there are those whom God has raised who can help us. But our concentration is always what God actually wants to communicate to us through the scriptures. This is something extremely important we must bear in mind all the time in our whole approach to life and our attitude towards the scriptures and how we read the scriptures as how others may tell us about what they have derived from the scriptures. What appears to be the truth is not good enough. What appears to be the truth, even when people can quote many passages in the scriptures, is still not good enough. It ultimately has to do with what God actually wants to communicate and teach us through the scriptures. Is it really the truth? Then you can walk in the truth. Together with that, there will be a longing for spiritual insight into the truth, and then receiving the truth into our hearts and living out the truth we come to understand. All this I'm talking about, you can see they are interrelated, but I hope as we go through the various facets will become clearer to us and become real within our hearts in the whole way we approach the scriptures and the way we live our lives. So we must beware, there's a difference between reading and we think we understand, or people tell us or we hear messages and we think we understand. The difference between that and spiritual insight. So first, yes, it is the truth. Then, but the other is spiritual insight. Continuing with Psalm 119, actually this psalm, there are many verses here, they are very relevant and helpful in relation to this subject we are considering, but I will not be referring to many verses. You can read them for yourself. I'll just refer to a few key verses in this psalm. Let us look at Psalm 18. The psalmist expresses the longing in his heart. And if you read this verse, you'll find that it is actually a prayer to God. And after that, we look at two other verses. It expresses the longing in his heart and also his prayer to God. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold. Who was he addressing? It's the Lord. The second verse tells us, wonderful things from your law. So he had this longing, and not just a longing, it was a prayer to God. So when we read the scriptures similarly, we need to have this attitude of heart. Not just we read, interaction within us in the text. Constantly there must be this looking to the Lord, prayerful reading, prayerfully asking God to open our eyes, spiritual insight. Because only God can help us to really understand the scriptures accurately, wholesomely, and grant us spiritual insight. And he says that I may be whole. Otherwise we cannot. God must open our eyes. And then he says, wonderful things from your law. And indeed, there are many wonderful truths. They can make a lot of difference to our lives. They can really enrich our lives. We must read the scriptures with this kind of longing, this kind of conviction. Yes, at times when we read the scriptures, it may not always be, whenever we read the scriptures, just very wonderful new truths come about. But as we persevere, there will be many wonderful truths God has in store for us, waiting to be understood. God longs that we understand these things. That is why he has given us the scriptures. But we must read with that kind of attitude. Then two other verses in the same direction, verses 33 and 34, which I see are two key verses in the scriptures. The psalmist again expresses the longing of his heart and a prayer, his prayer to God. Try to identify with the heart of this psalmist. If we align our hearts with the posture, we must also have this kind of heart and spirit. And this must be the way we read the scriptures. As well as when we come together and discuss with the brethren. Or when we come together in a time of worship, the longing of our heart, our prayer to God, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. We know ultimately it's God. God must teach us. But when we pray to God in that way, it must be with this attitude, this longing, that when he has taught us, we will observe it. Not just for the moment, but to the end, to the end of our days on earth. And the truth will continue on through eternity. The implications and meaning, relevance. There are many aspects that will continue to be relevant even in eternity. Yes, there are some aspects that are meant for our time on earth. Verse 34, same thrust and direction. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. With all my heart. Is that the reality in our heart when we read the scriptures? And when we seek to understand the truth? There's a longing to understand that the Lord may teach us. And we are serious. We want to keep it with all our heart. If this is indeed the reality of our heart, surely God will teach us many things. He will grant us spiritual insight, and we will live lives that are rich in spiritual meaning. And if we have aligned our heart with the posture, this will be true in our hearts. And this will be the way we read the scriptures all the time. And whenever we falter, we know we have deviated from the posture, and we'll come back. We'll reaffirm, and we'll come back. We'll align our hearts back to what it ought to be. So there will be the eagerness in our hearts, not only to have spiritual insight, but also eagerness to receive what God wants to teach us through the scriptures. In the words of the Lord Jesus, he says, this is the heart of the one who is like the seed in the good soil. We are familiar. This is a verse I've also often referred to in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. The Lord Jesus, in his teaching on the parable of the different kinds of soil, he says in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. So the Lord Jesus mentions there are four kinds of soil. The first three are no good, not satisfactory. It's only the fourth one, and this is the good soil. What is that? He says the good soil. These are the ones who have heard the word. So we look to God to help us to understand the truth. And there are many different ways God can communicate to us, but especially one primary and major source is through the scriptures, where the truth can be transmitted to us by the Lord But he says the seed, when it rests on the good soil, we hear the word, but it is with an honest and good heart. We'll hold fast. That is the word, the truth. And you'll bear fruit with perseverance. That means the truth will be absorbed and you will continue to have relevance in our lives. Not just when we hear it, we agree with it, or we say wonderful and we rejoice in it. But its meaning, its significance, quickly fades away. That is no good. That will be like what the Lord Jesus says, the seed which fall on rocky soil in verse 13. They hear, they receive the word with joy. It may sound good. And there are many Christians who receive the truth in this way. And they think that's wonderful. But there's no firm root. And it's only temporary. So when temptation comes, when trials come, just like those on the thorns, sit among the thorns, choked with worries, riches and pleasures of this life, bear no fruit to maturity. God is not pleased with all this kind of response to the truth and to what He desires to communicate to us. So we need to take care. Is there the eagerness to receive the word, not temporarily, but permanently, in an honest and good heart, hold it fast, bear fruit with perseverance. The next related area I want to consider with you is also an area that I have mentioned from time to time, which I consider very important, which I hope as you reflect on it, if you're clear that this is indeed the truth, it may become a reality in your life, as well as the way you may at times have opportunity to influence others in a healthy direction. And this next area, the area I want to consider with you, there are a few aspects to it. And that is still on the point of one who has aligned his heart with a posture of God and truth. An important implication, we will give priority to prayerful, substantial reading of the scriptures and regularly reading through the whole Bible so that we can have an accurate, wholesome understanding of what the scriptures teach us and a proper basis for exercising faith and the reception of spiritual nourishment important for our spiritual growth unto maturity in the Lord. All these are related. It is of truth, and it's very important that we see them clearly and they are real first for our own lives. And to see that this is very clear in terms of the scriptural teaching, emphasis and thrust of how God wants us to go about our lives in relation to the truth and our approach to the scriptures. So first, we'll give priority. Not just here and there, we are careless about it. We'll give priority. If other things have to give way because we are busy and so on, other things may give way. But this must be an area of priority. Prayerful, substantial reading of the scriptures. So it's prayerful and there must be substantial reading. Not just reading a little bit. I know there are those who consider reflecting over the scriptures, or meditating and so on, they are important. I agree. There's a place for that. But we should not let that come in, and as a result, we read only a little bit each day. The prayerful, substantial reading of the scriptures, very important, and also that means regularly we are reading through the whole Bible, because there are many chapters in the Bible. If we do not read through prayerfully, substantially, then it will take us a long time to read through the scriptures once. How can we be healthily familiar with the scriptures? How can we understand what God is trying to teach us through the scriptures? When you read a verse or a passage, it seems to be telling us something. But if we do not have a healthy familiarity with the rest of the scriptures, we can easily go wrong Likewise, when we hear messages, when we read books, and people tell us this and that, this substantial from the scriptures, how are we to know that it is wrong interpretation? It is out of context. It appears right. It sounds right. And many areas of wrong doctrine, or not so wholesome understanding of scriptures, and they can lead us astray, sounds right. They can go together with substantiation from the scriptures, but not properly interpreted. So for ourselves, as well as for us then to be able to recognize whether teaching is sound, accurate or not. Because ultimately, as I said, it's very important we want to have an accurate, wholesome understanding of the truth, accurate, wholesome understanding of the scriptures. Then this substantial reading through the scriptures regularly is extremely important. The other is the spiritual nourishment. When we read the scriptures prayerfully, and the substantial reading every day, we can be spiritually strengthened and nourished. I said there's a place to ponder over, to reflect, to meditate. But we should do that after. And at other times, here and there, we have time, we reflect over the truth. And try to reflect over also in comparison with other passages and so on. We can do that. But each day, it's important that we read through prayerful, substantial reading. I also mentioned the proper basis for exercising faith. This related to what I was saying earlier. Many areas we may think they are truth. They appear to be truth. They appear to be what the scriptures teach us, either from our own reading or from what others tell us or what we read or what we hear. But there's no proper basis for exercising faith if there is no accurate understanding of the truth. So this first part is extremely important, the accurate, wholesome understanding of the truth as proper basis for exercising faith. So let us look at two passages in the scriptures. Again, two very familiar passages on this subject, but it's important for us to appreciate the meaning, the thrust, the implications from these passages. First, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You notice I have quoted from different writers, different people, the Psalmist, the Lord Jesus. Now, we look at the Apostle Peter. And they all tell us the same thing, the same thrust. And there's the beauty of the scriptures. Not only written by so many different people, but through a stretch of time that stretches over many, many years, many centuries. But there's a unity, the same thrust that comes through again and again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. The first verse is relevant and helpful. Before you go on to talk about newborn, like newborn babes longing for the pure milk, Peter says, therefore, putting aside all malice, or in this margin it says, all wickedness. All malice or wickedness and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, that is all that is negative. So when we approach the scriptures, it's very important, the moral dimension, and we need to deliberately lay aside all that dishonors God, all that displeases God, all the negative attitudes in our hearts. Anything that is of darkness, of evil, all this will hinder us. We pray to God, God, I long to know the truth. We read the scriptures, but there are things inside our heart that are not good, and we do not deal with them. They will hinder us. So do not be surprised. There are times when we read and read and read, but we do not receive, understand, even over long periods of time. It can be because there are certain things within our hearts that hinder us from accurate, wholesome, proper appreciation of the truth in a way that will enrich our lives. And that must be the goal. Not just we have read the scriptures, then having laid aside the negative, there is this positive longing. Like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word. So that like the newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word tells us that the truth can nourish us, strengthen us, and build us up, and help us to grow. And the and the rest of the second verse actually tells us that so that you may grow. So if you want to grow into maturity in the Lord, then the feeding on the truth is very important, and together there must be a healthy longing. You see, for the baby, it comes spontaneously. They're hungry, you don't feed them, they'll yell. They want the milk. So for us, it must become like that also. If we align our heart with the truth, we long for the milk of the word. We know it's important to nourish us. And we don't have that, we feel we are spiritually starved. So there's a longing. And we know it's important so that we can grow. And Peter says, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Salvation begins with conversion, but it doesn't stop there. Unto the fullness that God intends for us in Christ. So there's a longing for the pure milk of the word. And pure, the margin says, unadulterated. So again, emphasized to us. The pure word. That means what God actually wants to communicate in all its purity. Not tainted by wrong understanding, false doctrine, or tainted by our personal wrong desires. So the whole way we interpret and apply, it becomes adulterated. It's no longer pure. It's no longer what God actually intends. So that is important. The pure milk of the word, that by it may grow in respect to salvation, to grow unto maturity in the Lord. Let us now turn to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13. Now, the words of the Apostle Paul. There are many, many verses and passages in scriptures that are very relevant, but as I said, I will only refer to a few. And many of these are important verses. So it will not be so difficult to remember, so that we will constantly be reinforced in our conviction on these areas. And as I said, ultimately, what is really critical has to do with ultimately the realities in our heart. We must nurture these realities. Otherwise, we can hear all this again and again. It will not be of use. And it will not bear good fruit. It will not really help us. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 13 is a verse that I have highlighted in the discussion on the subject of faith and also in the book Man of Faith. I see this as a very meaningful key verse on the subject of true faith. Verse 13, Paul wrote, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth." And this applies to all of us. God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And for this we should be very thankful to God. Verse 13 says, we should always give thanks to God. Or Paul says, we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you. So this direction is something meaningful. So Paul says, he gives thanks to God. So God has chosen you from the beginning. This has always been in the heart of God, and it's unchanging. All who enter God's kingdom, this is the way it ought to be. For salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Again, here, salvation is not just merely conversion. Conversion, the beginning, towards the whole direction unto full salvation. That's why it says through sanctification by the Spirit. The process of sanctification. So here we need to bear in mind, sanctification is by the Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit, but it's sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. How the Spirit sanctifies us, requires faith on our part and faith in the truth. So the recognition of truth, very important. But when we recognize the truth, we must exercise faith. But faith must also anchor in the truth. And this must go together with our looking to the Spirit of God to help us appreciate the truth. The truth become alive, and the sanctification work, sanctifying work of the Spirit through the truth and our exercising of faith. And when all these things come together in our heart, we will enter into the life that God intends for us. We will grow in maturity. We will be able to grow in our knowledge of God. We will be able to respond well to God and God's high calling. Note the next verse, verse 14. It was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see the words here, the thrust, very strong. It was for this He called you through our gospel. The gospel message, in all its richness, is meant to be worked out in this way. God called you through the gospel. It's for this that there may be sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And not only that, Paul went on to say in verse 14, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This part here can be appreciated from a few angles. One can be, we are glorified as we grow unto maturity in Christ. We gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself, in all His glory, as we become more and more like Him, we also can manifest His glory. That means in our lives. The glory of Christ manifested in our lives. What Paul also says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But it can also be appreciated from the other angle. That is, we may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Has to do with, as we respond well to the truth, as we grow, Christ Himself is also glorified. And actually the two goes together. The two go together. And as I mentioned, this related to the key verse. At the heart of the mystery, Paul tells us, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And all this takes place in the context of sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. So the importance of spiritual insight to the truth, absorption of truth, living it out, but it requires accurate understanding of the truth, reception of the truth. So now some concluding remarks. When God and truth is the foundational basis and primary motivation of our lives, and that is at the heart of the posture, there will be three related points in our hearts and our approach to life. Of course, you can add a lot more. I just want to highlight three important points for us to bear in mind. You can also ask yourself, and if you think you've aligned your heart with the posture of God and truth, or you want to align your heart, what are the implications? Now, specifically in relation to the scriptures. The first point will be, we will give priority to the reading and reception of the truth God intends to reveal to us in the scriptures. This will be true. We will give priority to the reading and reception of the truth. Reading as well as reception of the truth. And it's a truth that God intends to reveal to us, to teach us in the scriptures. This will be true in our hearts. The second related point is, we will read the scriptures with an earnest and unceasing longing to grow in our knowledge of God and His ways, which includes the truth, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and to deepen our relationship with Him. We give priority to reading the scriptures, to receiving the truth, but this must be linked to the earnest longing to grow in our relationship with God, and this is something unceasing. And understanding knowledge of God as well as God's ways in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and constantly seeking to deepen our relationship with God. And we know that all these are tied together. And as I mentioned, from time to time, all the major areas of truth that the scriptures seek to impress upon hearts, they are all interrelated. They are all bound up together. When we see any major of truth as we understand it, it doesn't go together with other major areas. It's a warning sign to us. We have gone wrong somewhere in our understanding. The third important point is we will appreciate the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who inspired the writing of the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit who leads us into all the truth. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Here again, the words of the Lord Jesus. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine, and He will disclose it to you. I want to concentrate on these words. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all the truth. The Holy Spirit, when He comes, He desires to guide us into all the truth. So it's not just that we long to know the truth. The Spirit wants to guide us into all the truth. But here I see it's helpful to appreciate the meaning of the Spirit of God guiding us into all the truth. It's into all the truth. So I see here it's helpful to appreciate, and this is actually the reality of the role of the Holy Spirit. There are several facets to it, aspects to it, dimensions to it, into all the truth. And that includes understanding, it includes spiritual insight. It includes guiding us into all the truth. That means the truth becomes a part of our lives. We really appreciate it. It then will include the renewal of our minds. You include the transformation of our heart. He guides us into all the truth, which will include the truth then becoming a part of us and our walking in the truth. So all these are related, and all these are part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. To help us understand, to gain spiritual insight, to renew our minds, and the truth transforming our hearts and enabling us to walk in truth, to live out the truth, and then glorify Christ in our lives. Verse 14 says, the Lord Jesus says, He will glorify Me. And this comes immediately after verse 13. In the past I've mentioned, I see it's helpful to relate the two together, that a very major way in which the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ is not limited to this aspect alone. The Holy Spirit seeks to glorify Christ in many different ways. But a very major way the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ is glorifying Christ through our lives. And how does the Holy Spirit glorify Christ through our lives? It's by guiding us into all the truth, helping us to gain insight, helping us to absorb the truth, helping us to be transformed, renewed by the truth, and walking in the truth, and then in that way Christ will be glorified in our lives. So when we properly appreciate the role of the Holy Spirit in this way, it will also mean we will gladly respond well to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. This may sound something very obvious. All of us may think, oh, surely we want to respond well to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And generally, it would be true. If we love the Lord, then it should come about. We will want to respond, and we generally will respond well to the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But we also need to bear in mind the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, which goes together with helping us to understand the truth and to live out the truth, is not always pleasant. It includes many things the Spirit will show us as we absorb the truth and the implications, which can include walking in the path that involves a lot of pain, suffering, agony, and even misunderstood by people and so on, and trials and difficulties that awaits us, that will go together with what Lord Jesus says when He says, If you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up the cross. You're my disciples, deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me. The path of truth includes that. So let us bear in mind the implications of our approach to the scriptures, to seek to understand the truth, to live it out, and respond well to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in that direction. It may sound all so wonderful, so all of us will want it. In a way, yes, it is true. That's the way to the blessed life, to the abundant life. We all should long for that, but we must know it goes together with following the will of God, the path of true discipleship. It will not be an easy path. But at the same time, we can be properly motivated and want to live like that because we know that there's a path that goes together with the joy and the peace of God and the life of fruitfulness and the joy of deep fellowship with God and together with all those who love God. It is the life that is truly worth living. So then that is how we should approach the scriptures. That's how we should read the scriptures. So the reading of the scriptures must never be just to fulfill a routine. It can become like that. And if you're honest about it, many of us from time to time may read the scriptures in that way, just as a matter of routine. Or worse still, becomes a chore, an obligation to fulfill. And we quickly fulfill it, and then after that we can go on to other things. Our approach to scriptures and reading scriptures must never become like that. And when we recognize it becoming like that, arrest it. Pray to the Lord to help us renew the correct perspective and approach. That is very important. But here I want to emphasize, I'm not talking about feelings. So do not allow even to accuse you wrongly and then become very miserable and adversely affected. The night before you are walking with the Lord, your longings and your desires are all in the right place, and you look forward the next day you're going to read the scriptures with the right attitude, having a meaningful time with God in prayer. The next morning you woke up, your heart, your feeling inside, you don't feel anything as for the scriptures, to read the scriptures. Do not allow the evil one to deceive you into thinking that that means you're in a terrible state. No. You don't go by your feelings. You go by your convictions and what you're committed to, what you've come to understand. So if you recognize the importance of scriptures in this way, the next morning you wake up, you may not feel anything. You may even feel that taking up the Bible to read is like a routine or like a just to as if to fulfill an obligation, as if. But you remind them, no, I want to read scriptures because I want to know the truth. I'm absorbed the truth. I know this is meaningful. This is the way to really know God, know the truth, absorb it. This is the way to the fullness of life, and this is what I'm committed to. I know why I want to read. And we read with that attitude. We pray for God. When we do that, as we read the scriptures, even at the end of it, through the whole period as you read, you may not feel anything. Is that possible? Yes. Does that mean spiritually nothing taking place? No. If you read in faith with the right attitude, the Spirit of God will minister to you. And if you continue to persevere in that way, you will find you will keep growing. And in fact, that is the way to a mature faith. It's not only when you read the scriptures and you find wonderful, you feel wonderful, and the scripture is so alive, God is speaking to you, then you keep reading, and the moment you don't feel that way, you have a lot of difficulty reading the Bible. Is that true faith? No. You go on the basis of truth. Faith goes on the basis of truth. In truth, you recognize how God wants you to read the scriptures. You also know the Spirit of God wants to lead you into all the truth. So, finally, we cannot say we have aligned our hearts with the posture of God and truth, and yet we neglect the scriptures. We do not give the scriptures its proper place. Or we may read the scriptures where we fail to pay due attention, to understand, to seek to receive spiritual insight, to receive the truth God wants to commit to us through the scriptures, and then to live our lives accordingly. We cannot say we have aligned our hearts to the scriptures if it is that way. We neglect the scriptures. we do not carefully seek to understand, receive the truth, and setting our hearts to know what God actually wants to communicate through the scriptures. Let's now spend some time to prepare our hearts before we partake the Lord's Supper. Let's reflect on God's goodness, His love toward us, and all His provisions for us, and especially for today, what He has given to us. And what He has preserved for us in the scriptures, and all that He has in store for us, all the various major provisions of God, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, church life, all these come alive. And many, many aspects that God wants us to understand about all the other major provisions are there in the scriptures. So let us spend some time as we prepare our hearts to partake the Lord's Supper, ask the Lord to help us to understand whether in our hearts there is that genuine, meaningful conviction in relation to how we ought to respond to His calling and our convictions in relation to our approach to the scriptures. Is it real? Have we been reading the scriptures in that way? And also, when we come together with God's people to discuss the Bible, let us also ask the Lord to help us understand whether what He has sought to teach us through the scriptures, the truth that we have come to understand, have we absorbed them into our hearts? Have they renewed our minds? Have we lived our lives accordingly? Or are there important areas where we have not lived accordingly? And if we have neglected the scriptures, or we have approached the scriptures in a way that's not healthy, let us now sort all these things out before the Lord as we prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You will open the eyes of our heart, that we may have a full appreciation of Your calling and how You want us to respond to Your high calling, the richness and fullness of life You intend for each one of us and together as Your children, that we may more and more appreciate the meaning and implications of Your inspiration of the scriptures and the scriptures that You have preserved for our learning, that we may know how to approach the reading of the scriptures, the role of the Holy Spirit guiding us into all the truth, and how to exercise true faith in the truth that You have revealed to us, that personally and together we may then be more and more conformed to the image of Christ and glorify Him in our lives and fulfill Your perfect will. We pray that You prepare our hearts for the partaking of the Lord's Supper, that we will not partake in an unworthy manner, that You help us to put away all that displeases You and reaffirm our commitment to all the areas and aspects that You want us to work at, that we will not be neglectful of the scriptures and to pay careful attention to the way we read the scriptures. We thank You now for the Lord's Supper and ask Your blessings on the bread and wine, and that You may be pleased to be in our midst as we partake together, and help us to draw near to You, deepen our oneness with You and with one another in the truth as we partake together. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.